For the next couple of weeks, we're going to pick out themes from the book of James and talk about those things. All right. Since our CGs, we are talking about the book of James. So we want to do that. Okay. Have you all been reading the book of James? Okay. Read every day. Don't read just before CG, okay? Some of you don't read before CG also. So read every day. It's only 5 chapters, so should be easy. Alright? If not every day, read 1 chapter. Okay? Today we're gonna pick a theme from the book of James, and we're gonna talk about that a little bit, and ask the Lord to challenge us. You remember, 2 weeks ago, we had an overview of the book of James, right? You over here? You remember what we talked about? Okay? And how James refers or takes the Sermon on the Mount, right? And there seems to be just so much parallel with the Sermon on the Mount. We ended with a challenge. And the challenge was this, okay? You turn to your neighbor and say this, you know, ask the neighbor, are you a Christian, right? And if the answer is yes, the challenge is this, prove it. Okay? So, James, in a nutshell, basically says, you know, we've got to see what you believe. We as Christians need to live our lives in such a way that others see what we believe. So today we're going to look at one other thing that James talks about. So we're going to go through a series on the themes of the book of James, all right? You know, in big chunks. Okay, so on a Sunday we're going to talk about that, you know, ask the Lord to challenge us. And then in your CG, you go into the details, all right, as to what those passages would bring. So, James chapter 1. Okay. Consider it pure joy. All right. How many of you have been more joyful since we started the book of James? Woohoo. But then not put up your hand. Woohoo, put up your hand. Okay, so more joyful. Consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Okay, let's read it from the screen, since all of our versions are different. Let's move on. Verse 4. Okay, perseverance must finish its work, so that it may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in high. Okay, let's stop at verse 8. All right? So today we're going to look at this area of wisdom. Okay? And James begins by saying, consider pure joy, and then you know that you will be tested. All right? There will be trials of many kinds, and that develops perseverance. And when perseverance does its work, we will lack nothing. Okay? And then James goes on to say, but if you lack wisdom, you notice that? He says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature, you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But if you lack wisdom, ask God. Okay? So, there is a relation between perseverance lacking and wisdom. Flip the page. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers. Alright, so here James' focus now is teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So now he's talking a little bit in depth to people who are a little bit more responsible, so to speak. Right? Verse 13. We'll read verse 13 all the way to the end of the chapter, okay? Verse 13, 1, 2, go. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Wisdom. How many of us here are wise people? Scared to put up your hand. Got faith. If you have faith, ask for wisdom. God will give you wisdom, right? That's what we talked about in our CG. Who is wise? Today we're going to talk about a couple of things. And primarily, we want to focus on this area of wisdom. You know, James begins this section by asking, who is wise and understanding among you? Remember, he's talking to the teachers, right? Verse 1 of chapter 3, specifically addressing them. Now, teachers, obviously, are supposed to be, right, wiser and more knowledgeable, all right? In other words, people with understanding. And then he asked this question, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it with his good life. It is interesting that James doesn't ask, you know, who is richer? Which one of you is more powerful, you know? Which one of you is more educated? All teachers here, right? Which one of you is more educated? Which one of you is more popular? Which one of you, I mean, there could be 101 things that James could address, but he asks this question, which one among you is wise? Chapter 1 says when we have perseverance, you know, and when that matures, we lack nothing. But if you lack, we lack nothing. But if you lack wisdom. James doesn't say, you know, when perseverance is complete, we lack nothing. But, you know, if you lack courage or if you lack, you know, some other things. He says wisdom. There is a value, great value in wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Let's turn to Proverbs 3, verse 13. Okay, let's read this. 13, 17. Ready, 1, 2, go. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways and all her paths are peace. Wisdom Solomon here says, is greater than riches. It's greater than all the gold, it's greater than rubies, you know. Whatever material things that you have, wisdom is much greater than that. And you are blessed if you find wisdom. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 16 to 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But a poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. In fact, if you look at the verses before that, Solomon gives us a parable, really. Okay, Ecclesiastes. Let's look at a couple of verses before that. Let me see. What verse is that? Chapter 9. Verse 13. Okay. Verse 13 onwards, you say, I saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, built a huge siege work against it. Now there lived in the city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. Nobody remembered the poor man. And so I said, wisdom is better than strength. Okay? And so on. So he remembers, he says, hey, I remember this incident, and this guy, poor man, city was sieged, but the poor man saved the city. Why? Because he was wise. And so Solomon's conclusion is this: wisdom is better than strength, power, or in this case, you know, whatever military forces that you have. Wisdom is better than that. 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 1. Verse 10. And verse 10 says this. In fact, let's read verse 7. Okay? Then night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me, verse 10, wisdom and knowledge that I may lead the people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? And God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will also give you wealth, riches, honor, such as no king who was before you has ever had, none after you will have. Solomon enters into a position where he is now king. Authority is given to him. And God says, ask whatever you want. You know, as a king, there are many things that you can ask for. Right? Many, many things that you can ask for. A person has come into a position of power and authority. And all he asks for is wisdom. So that I can govern. And God sees that and says that, well done. On point. And because you ask for this, I will give you extra power and honor and wealth and everything else. One more scripture. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 5. Let's just read verse 3, understand the context. Okay. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and only a child of my mother, he taught me, means my father, and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Let's keep going. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. Wisdom is supreme. In other versions says wisdom is the principal thing. The main thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. King James, I believe, uses that. The main thing. And then it says that, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the main thing. And then with every other thing that you're getting, look for understanding. Wisdom and understanding or knowledge, in some versions, it uses the word knowledge, go hand in hand. But here's the thing, wisdom must come first. Wisdom must come first because knowledge without wisdom can be dangerous. Knowledge without wisdom can be dangerous. You may have the knowledge to build a bomb. Right? But if you don't have wisdom, you're going to end up in top fails or something like that in YouTube. Duh. Understanding, knowledge must follow after wisdom. Because without it, we would probably be doing stupid things, dangerous things. Now, it doesn't mean that knowledge is not good. Knowledge is important. But wisdom gives us the ability to apply the knowledge that we have. Wisdom must cause us to move to the next step to acquire understanding or knowledge. Because without it, then we become lazy. You know, God, just give me wisdom to do whatever. Can you imagine what will happen to each one of us if we go to class and we say, God, we didn't study, but give me wisdom. You're going to fail your paper. Right? You're going to work hard to acquire knowledge. Knowledge is learned. Wisdom is given. Knowledge is learned. You have to acquire it. Wisdom is given. Who gives wisdom? James chapter 1 tells us that, right? If you don't have wisdom, ask God. And that's the difference. You know, a lot of times we get all messed up and we say, you know, I need to learn this, learn that. And in the midst of learning this, learning that, learn how to be wise. Okay? Yeah, there's some truth in that. But God says that we need to ask Him for wisdom. Let me go back to that illustration. You cannot go to class, right, or sit for an exam and say this, you know, God, give me knowledge. I need to understand, you know, the physics behind whatever, whatever, you know. Not going to happen. Because knowledge is something that we need to work hard for. But the Bible says that we need to ask for wisdom. What do we need to do to acquire wisdom? Psalms 111, Psalms 111, verse 10, says this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are certain things that attracts, like a magnet, values that are of God. When we fear the Lord, it attracts wisdom. When we fear the Lord, God says, you know, God looks down at us and says, well, this guy, you know, just fears the Lord. You know what I'm going to do? Here, have some wisdom. That's what's going to happen. If we fear the Lord, it is the beginning point. So here's the thing. Okay? Now James tells us if you've got no wisdom, ask. Alright? But he also tells us how to ask. We'll go into a little bit into that. Okay? But the psalmist says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So, in other words, based on Psalms 111, if you don't fear God, you're not going to be a very wise person. How's that? You may be knowledgeable, but you may not be very wise, because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. All of us want to be wise people, right? Of course. Who doesn't want to be wise, right? We want to be wise people. And you know, sometimes in our Christian walk, it's so easy to say, you know, God, I want strength. I want to be humble. I want to be humble. You know, I want to do this. I want to do that. And you look at scripture, God says, sure. Let's backtrack a bit. You want to be humble? Go fast and pray. We talk about this, right? Okay, fasting is a means, right, that God uses to help us to be humble. You want God's blessing? You want wisdom? Let's start with the fear of the Lord. We need to understand the amount of reverence that we need to give God, because if we don't fear God, we're not going to have wisdom. Let's go back to James. What is wisdom? What are some of the virtues of wisdom? James mentions two. In chapter 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Let him show it. If you're wise, let him show it. Because wisdom produces what? A good life. Good is a result of us being wise. Humility is a result of us having wisdom. These are the virtues of wisdom. And James basically says, I'm not interested in your words. I'm interested in your works. Show it. Prove it. Right? Prove that you have wisdom. How many of you are wise? Put up your hands. Prove it. That's what basically James is saying. Chapter 3, verse 13, 14. If you are wise, then let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Wisdom is good. Wisdom is humble. It's not arrogant. It's not proud. And then, James gives us the contrast. In verse 14, if you harbor bitterness, if you harbor bitter envy, right, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, inverted commas, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. I like this James. He's very hard. You know, he comes and he gives it to you. Okay? And he basically says, hey, if you're not, your life doesn't show a good life that comes from wisdom, humility, then the wisdom that you have, the wisdom that you're talking about, is, you know, basically of the devil. Okay. Bitter envy, selfish ambition. Not wise. It is earthly, it is unspiritual. In fact, there are some versions that uses the word, it is sensual or soulish. And we talked about this in 2 weeks ago. Oh no, in our fasting series. Okay. If you want to be humble, we need to address the soul. We need to fast the soul, right? Because the soul is the mind, the will, the emotions. I think, I want, I feel. Those are the things that are sensual, soulish, unspiritual, as some versions use it. And then he goes on to give us the result of that. Okay. For if you have envy and self-ambition, you will find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven, okay, that's the wisdom that is of the devil. And then he flips back and says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere, and so on and so forth. Okay, we won't go into the details of that. But it addresses those things. Now, I'm highlighting this because, you know, at the end of the day, the book of James challenges us to live it. To live it. It starts off by saying, consider it pure joy. We're going to face trials, okay, of many kinds. And when you face it, it produces perseverance. But hey, if you lack anything, ask for wisdom. And in 2 chapters later, he talks about wisdom. And he gives a contrast between the earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Wisdom is supreme. Principle. There are two things that are necessary. Go back to chapter 1. Psalms gave us one of them. Well, at least two things, okay? I'm just going to highlight these two. Because, you know, in itself is massive for us to think about. Psalms 111 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the of wisdom, if we want to be wise, then we need to fear the Lord, right? So we need to ask ourselves, hey, in our coming in and going out, in everything that we do, how much do we fear the Lord? Do we fear the Lord? How much do we fear the Lord? Now, the fear of the Lord is reverence. It's as if God is sitting right next to you. And I have to give this illustration. If God is with us all the time, physically, okay, you can see Him. Now, a lot of times, because we don't see Him, we ignore Him. I mean, He's there, right? God is there. He knows all, and He sees all. And He's right there, okay? Here's the thing. If God is physically with you all the time, you can see Him, okay? How would you live your life, or even, no need to talk about life, how would you live your day? If God says, tomorrow, the moment you wake up, I'm going to be sitting right there, you know. Okay? You walk into your bathroom, I'm going to be right there, you know. Hey, I mean, He's already there, right? He knows all things, right? I'm going to be right there. And then when you walk out of your bathroom, you open your wardrobe, I'm going to look at you, I'm going to see what you're going to pick, you know. I'm going to be right there. How would you live your life differently? Stress, Shouldn't be stressed, right? Because God knows the whole things, But here's the thing. I ask a lot of people, this is the main word that comes out, very stress. Why? The answer is this, because if we don't see Him, we don't fear Him. There's no reverence of His. And so we do things as we like. Let's use the word James used. A lot of times, that translates to selfish ambition. And so the fear of the Lord must cause us to do everything different. There's a song. It's in my song list. I can't remember the title of the song. Steve Curtis Chapman. Natural, Only Natural. Right. What's the title of the song? Is it Only Natural? He says this, you know, we cannot, in a nutshell, okay, of the song. He says, we cannot say that things are just natural. Because the Holy Spirit that dwells in us makes us unnatural. Okay, so we cannot go around, I'm, you know, paraphrasing and, you know, putting my words into his song as well. We cannot go around, all right, saying that, hey, it's only natural for me to respond this way. It's not. We cannot. The Holy Spirit and the fear of God must cause us to live lives that are not natural to the system of this world. Not natural. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Why? Because we fear the Lord. And when we fear the Lord, it attracts wisdom. It is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 1, Verse 5 says this, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously. Okay, God's going to give it to you if you ask. Right? And fear God, obviously. Without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But, okay, verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown, tossed by the wind. A man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And so God says, you don't have wisdom? Ask. But when you ask, don't doubt. In other words, you need to have faith to believe that God will deliver. He will deliver. Faith is a key to a lot of things. Faith is a key to asking. Right? Jesus himself says, you know, ask and you will receive. Hey, but wait a minute. You know, you ask but you don't receive. Why? Because you don't believe. That's why you don't receive. So we need to believe, or else we will be tossed to and fro. And so, James, in this area of wisdom, basically says this. Wisdom is key. You lack anything? Let's go for wisdom first of all. In fact, the Bible says that. Alright? And then after that, let's pursue understanding. There is value in wisdom. As you think about that, let's ask ourselves this question. What do you value most in your life, in your pursuit? Is wisdom part of the list? You go after it. It's more valuable than money. Gold is more valuable than the military power. We go after it. And James says, if you don't have wisdom, ask. But ask by faith, right? Ask believing. Number three, he says, now that you have wisdom, now that you say you have wisdom, let's see it come out. How does it come out? In your good life. In humility. That's how it needs to come out. And so the challenge for us today is this. Okay. How do we align ourselves to understand God's plans and God's purposes? Because in order to align, we need the wisdom of God. Okay? Let me say that again. All the knowledge that we have without wisdom would probably end up in foolishness or foolish acts. Okay? Are you with me? Right? God's wisdom needs to come and help us live our lives so that whatever knowledge and understanding that we acquire is used for His glory. Or else, James tells us, you know, if you don't have faith, you don't believe, God's not going to give you that wisdom. This is what's going to happen to you, you know. You're going to toss to and fro, you know. Because you're not going to know what you're going to do with the knowledge that you have. Now, we need to live out. We need to align. Wisdom helps us do that. Here's the thing. All right. Turn with me one more scripture, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua
chapter 7. Now, Joshua chapter 1. God tells Joshua, you know, Joshua chapter 1, that, hey, I'm going to give you the land. Right? And chapter 3, they cross over and start taking possession of the land. So the first place that they go to is Jericho, and God says, this is how you're going to take the land. All right? I want you to walk around the city. So every day you walk around the city. Stay quiet, walk around. It's tough to walk around. It's a large city, okay? It's not, you know, walk around a kampong or something like that. Walk around the city. On the 7 day, walk around 7 times and then give a shout. And that's it. You know? And what is that? That is the wisdom of God. This is how we are going to win. And God's ways are higher than our ways. You know, we don't understand it. And then, the Bible tells us, we won't go into the details of it. You go back and read. In chapter 6, Jericho falls. Okay? And God gives them an instruction. In fact, if you read your passage, the Bible, this word comes out many, many times. Okay? God says to the people, everything that's in there, the silver and the gold, all those precious stuff. Now, in those days, when you conquer a city, you loot the city. Right? You take everything. Okay? So, God says, take everything, but everything belongs to me. Okay, all the gold and all the good stuff belongs to me. It is devoted. That word is used in the NIV. It is devoted. These are the devoted things. Belongs to me. Okay, nobody can take back. In those days, when you conquer a city, you share the spoils. So everybody, you know, they divide stuff and everybody goes home with something. So in Jericho, God says, everything belongs to me. But there was a guy named Achan. Okay? In chapter 7, verse 1, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which was near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men and to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. The hearts of the people melted and became like water. Okay? So this is what happens. They go up, they go and spy the land. They go and spy this small city called Ai. And they come back and say that, hey, sup soy. Alright? We send 2,000, 3,000 lah, at most. Alright? Because this easy job. And Joshua sends 3,000 men. And these few men, the Bible doesn't say how many men are, a few men actually, you know, chased them, conquered them. And their hearts became like water. Okay? And then the long story is that, you know, this guy coveted some devoted things. He kept it for himself. And God said in verse 13, go consecrate the people. Okay? Tell them, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. Until it is destroyed. Alright? And so, in the morning, right, each tribe, they will present themselves. And of course, you know, long story again, short, go back and read. They single out this guy, Achan, and he confessed, and he was removed. Verse 15 tells us that he had violated the covenant of the Lord and had done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So, verse 20, Achan confessed that he took silver and gold. Okay, he hid it in his tent. And then at the end of verse 25, we see that Israel removed him. Okay, stoned him. Burned everything. Here's the thing. We all need wisdom in order to carry out the things that God has placed before us. Of course, with wisdom, we must also work hard to attain knowledge and understanding. Okay, you cannot just have God give me wisdom, settle everything. Okay, you cannot, you know, come to, I want to coach floorball. I just pray for wisdom lah, can or not? Not going to work, huh? Okay? You need understanding and you need to work hard to receive that. But when you have that understanding, and when we are submitted to God by faith, and when we fear God, God gives us the wisdom to use that understanding in the capacity that He has placed us in. Right? All of us need that. Whatever we do, I mean, I'm not just talking about sports ministry. I use that as an illustration for wherever God has placed us. That's how we need to function. Because James basically starts off and says that, hey, you're going to have trials, you know. Consider pure joy. You need perseverance. And you will be complete. But then, you know, search for this one thing. It is supreme wisdom. Search for it. Chapter 3 tells us there is a difference between godly wisdom and ungodly wisdom. And wisdom of the devil. Wisdom of God produces these things. Alright? It will reflect in your good life. It will reflect in your humility. The ungodly wisdom, the wisdom of the devil, you know, will cause a lot of other things to happen. It's going to be selfish. And here's the thing. God can call us to a ministry. He can even tell us you're going to win. And we can still fail. Why? Because we're not aligned. Happened to the Israelites. Can happen to any one of us. If we fail to understand God's wisdom. And so my prayer for each one of us today is this. Let's fear the Lord. Let's learn how to exercise faith and constantly ask God for His wisdom. Tomorrow when you wake up, imagine that God is sitting right there and He's saying, good morning, what are you going to do next? I tell you, the fear of the Lord will come in right away. And then say, God, I'm going to live by faith. Help me to have the wisdom to be able to do everything that needs to be done. Amen. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's just bow our heads right now, everybody. You tell the Lord right now where you're at and ask God for wisdom. But before you do that, ask God to help you to have the fear of the Lord and to have faith. Because if we don't have faith, God's not going to give us wisdom. We need to believe that He will give it to us. Perhaps some of us need to come before the Lord and say, God, forgive me for my selfish ambition. I have knowledge, understanding, but the way I carry out this knowledge and work out this knowledge is not of the Lord. And we need to ask God for forgiveness and restoration. You read Joshua chapter 8. They went into Ai after they removed Achan and the things that he had taken. Easy victory. Why? Because that victory was intended anyway. That was God's plan and God's purpose. But because of the foolishness and selfish ambition of man, God withheld. Let's ask God right now. God, forgive us and give us your wisdom. Let's ask God for wisdom in faith without doubting, because He is the giver of all wisdom and He's generous with it. Father, we pray that You will give each one of us right here, right now, Your wisdom because we need it. We confess, Lord, that we are foolish people. We think we are wise, but we act in the wisdom of man, in fact, the wisdom of the devil. And we ask right now that You will forgive us and give us the grace, the courage to embrace Your wisdom. Help us to have the faith to be able to live it out, to be able to live the good life in humility. That we would show that You are with us and that the wisdom that we possess comes from the Almighty. So Father, give us the courage to respond. But first of all, we ask Lord that You teach us to value wisdom, to pursue after it. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.